Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It falls to Ely on the volley. What a finish. Gotti Kingda has struck. It falls to Polito and he puts it in. To Johnny Russell. First time shot. And Johnny Russell has a hat trick.
The Sporting KC Show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Superior light beer with only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra. Find your fit.
Now your host, Nate Buchanan.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's on Spotify, iTunes, wherever. We hope you subscribe. We hope you like the podcast page. Or if you're watching us on video on the 810 Facebook page or YouTube page as well, we appreciate you however you're taking in the content today. Nate Buchanan with you as always, joined by Allie Trost and Connell McCourt. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well, especially well with all the exciting news around sporting.
Boy, there's a lot of exciting stuff. Connell McCourt, what's up, man?
I'm fantastic, Nate. Great to be here again.
It is a fantastic time to be here. And as you guys can see, I'm kissing up to the boss today. Those of you that are watching on video, I am wearing my number 15 Chiefs jersey right now. Yes, it's not. Well, I guess it's almost football season because they've reported to camp. But if you don't know why, yes, I'm kissing up to the boss. I'm a first rate suck up when it comes to making sure the bosses are happy, or at least trying my best to do that. And if you haven't seen, Sporting Kansas City put out a press release today. And I will read from said press release. By the way, coming up on the show, we're going to have Nicholas Isimont-Marine on the show. EC, they call him. He's going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk about a massive win for Sporting KC against Seattle. Also, maybe some thoughts on the San Jose game controversy in that one, because we haven't had a chance to talk since then. And we'll look ahead to the FC Dallas game coming up. But the news release that we will start with today, Sporting KC welcomes Patrick Mahomes as member of Sporting Club Ownership Group. This dated July 27th, 2021, Sporting Kansas City announced today that the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback and Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes has become a new member of the Sporting Club Ownership Group. Quote, I am grateful for the opportunity to join Sporting Kansas City's ownership team and strengthen my connection to the fans and the city I love, Mahomes said. Sporting is a community-oriented club, and I am excited to continue supporting the growth of soccer in Kansas City. And then we have a quote from Cliff Illig. Patrick is a tremendous ambassador for the city, and we are delighted to welcome him to the Sporting Club Ownership Group, said Cliff Illig, principal owner of Sporting KC. In addition to achieving excellence on the field, he is deeply committed to giving back to the community and elevating the sport of soccer. Patrick is also accustomed to cultivating a winning culture, and we look forward to contending for championships at Children's Mercy Park well into the future. There's more on Patrick Mahomes in the news release and all that, but that's the main stuff right there. Guys, your reaction. Patrick Mahomes, part owner of Sporting Kansas City.
I don't think, Nate, that anyone can really fully understand Mahomes' vision for Kansas City sports, because what we've seen in just a short amount of time, he signs this massive, just never seen before contract, and not just the NFL, but in sports and in professional sports. Just a few weeks later, joins the Royals ownership group. Now, a year later, announced that he is part owner of this, you know, Sporting Kansas City, and who knows? Does that mean an NBA team or an NHL team is next? I feel like the trend that we're seeing now is just Mahomes is working to just really put Kansas City, or help put Kansas City even more so on the map than it already is, and not to mention his fiance, Brittany Matthews, of course, part owner of KCNWSL. So just remarkable that these two individuals in such a short amount of time have really made a strong initiative to become involved in the sports scene here.
Well, I mean, not to talk down the NBA or anything, but there is Kansas City GAA team that is looking for new ownership.
That's the Gaelic Football Association.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're technically not for sale or whatever.
National champs, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2-3 years ago, yeah. But we need to be brought back to the glory days, and Mahomes could be the man to bring us back. Hey,
let's see what kind of persuasive abilities Connell McCord has right there, because it does seem that the Mahomes Enterprise group, I mean, between Patrick and Brittany, are set on owning everything in town, and we're here for it. They're putting down roots in a major way. Look, I think that it says things from both sides, right? It says, again, it's just affirmation that Patrick Mahomes is invested literally and emotionally in the city. He's come to sporting games since he first started playing for the Chiefs. He and his girlfriend at the time, Brittany, would come to games all the time. As you said, they've got ownership stakes in other teams in town as well. So it just reaffirms what we've already come to know about Patrick Mahomes and Brittany in this situation. But it also says something about where Sporting Kansas City rest in the spot of Kansas City, that he considers this to be worth his while to be an investor. He might not think the same thing about the Gaelic Football Club. Well, I don't know, Connell. I don't know that yet. We'll see. But, you know, this is still a sport and a team that in Kansas City is fighting for its own foothold and legitimacy in certain parts of the market. We know there's a huge fan base that legitimacy is there, but there's still a big part of the city that we're trying to win over. And I think that when all of a sudden the most popular sports figure in the city, by far, maybe in the history of the city, the most universally respected sports athlete since at least Tom Watson and George Brett, says, yeah, I'm not just a fan, I'm invested. I believe in the future of this, and I want to be a part of it. That certainly does well for what Sporting Kansas City is trying to become.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it speaks volumes about Major League Soccer as well and where this league and sport in America is going. And in Kansas City, of course, looking at how Sporting Kansas City has, you know, over the last decade plus, and really since, you know, it's joined, you know, the league when it first started 25 years ago. I mean, Sporting has, and I was talking with the St. Louis radio station about this, as St. Louis is about to get a team here, you know, in 2023, I believe now it is, with everything getting pushed back. Kansas City has kind of put that blueprint out there as to how to, you know, not just make it successful at the professional level, but all the way down the line with the developmental academies and really establishing a pro player pathway that is producing, and that's going to be seen more and more around the league. But where Sporting is, where Major League Soccer is going, and now, you know, seeing someone like Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, not just investing in the city, but investing in the sport, investing in Major League Soccer, I think is huge. And right. We've seen, you know, Russell Wilson with the Sounders. I mean, it says a lot, I think, when athletes who have that high profile are investing back into other sports that are still, like you said, Nate, fighting for that viewership, that fan base. And it's amazing. So I'm excited to see where this goes. And Johnny Russell did tell me, I asked him, we got to get Patrick Mahomes through a tunnel. This is a tunnel worthy.
No, he won't let that happen.
Take it easy, guys. Yeah, I mean, I know he plays tackle football. He's used to getting hit, but we're not. Nobody's hurting
Patrick
Mahomes.
This will be a lighter tunnel.
put him in a bubble.
Contact-free tunnel.
There'd be more money in the transfer kitty anyway, I assume, with that big monster contract that he signed. But as you're saying, like, he's putting his money where his mouth is. Like, look, he doesn't live in L.A. It's not New York. This isn't a massive market team. He says, I believe in this team. I believe in where they can go. I don't just want to be a fan, as you said. He's invested. He's an owner. He's down with the plan, with whatever's going. Obviously, it's been sold to him. So,
but it also makes the Chiefs better, right? Like, I think about this from time to time, you know, just with the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And I remember Matt Beasler telling us, you know, that was inspiration to them because they see that parade and like, we want that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the success of the professional teams in town is only going to then raise the level for everyone else. It's like there's that support there, but it's also that pressure, like, hey, we want to bring this incredible sports fan base that same kind of joy and just excitement through winning titles. And I just think that when you see the level of expectation raised and then that investment from someone like Mahomes, it makes everyone better. And I think that's going to be hopefully something we see continue.
Now, I haven't seen anything on this yet, but also it doesn't hurt for the old we need a World Cup game here.
I'm glad you brought that up, Connell, because, look, this is the way I look at things right now. The sport, and look, I'll be perfectly honest about this. 7 years ago, I made a career choice to pivot away from doing play-by-play at the college level, at the university that I grew up loving and cheering for to giving it a go with soccer. And there was a little bit of a leap there. I was relatively inexperienced at doing play-by-play for soccer at that time. It was, as I've described it, the sport that I loved the most but knew the least about. And a lot of people in my family thought I was nuts, you know, because what are you doing? KU's been around for 100 and however many years. It's a great program, all those things. And this sport, half the city doesn't even know their games, when the games are on or care. And I just felt there were many reasons for the decision. Most of it was just following my heart, honestly. And I think if you do that in life, you're going to be better off more often than if you overthink things. But I felt like the 30-year arc of this sport in this country, and particularly in this town, was going to do nothing but go up for the rest of my life. It might be a slow arc, but I just think it's going to continue to grow in profile and prestige. And this is another – there have been so many times since I made that decision where I felt like, see, this is another example. Now – there have been some moments that scared me a little bit. When the U.S. missed out on making it to the World Cup this last time around, I thought, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to this sport? And the sport short-term took a huge setback because of that. But these things that keep happening, and you see the atmosphere in places like Austin, Texas, and, of course, here in Kansas City, but the new places like Austin that oh, my gosh, look at that. That's in America. Mm-hmm. Continues to make, and then you see people like James Harden and Patrick Mahomes and Matthew McConaughey get invested in their local clubs, and Will Ferrell and all this stuff.
Your good buddy, Will Ferrell.
My good buddy, Will Ferrell. All that stuff happens. And then, to me, I look at it and say, okay, now we also have this wave. And I mean a wave now. It's not just a trickle. It's a wave of teenage kids who are coming up through the well-established academy programs here in the United States that never existed before, who are more prepared than ever to go to Europe, mm-hmm. who are going straight to the top leagues in Europe. Not having to make a stop in necessarily, you know, Scotland first or whatever. And no offense there, Connell.
I took a great
I saw the
to
look
that,
at your – I mean, he's going to bash that microphone.
I thought you were
going to
say, like, Austria or somewhere. But
well, hey, Austria the same, and some guys do that too. And look, there are great there are great teams in Scotland, but there are also some teams that aren't so great, right? That's fair to say. If you go straight to Celtic – that's a heck of a jump.
Chris Mueller just signed for Hibs too, though.
Right. And Hibs is one of the bigger clubs in Scotland. So my point being is just, there you go, though, another young American that are doing these things. We have this wave of players. And in 5 years from now, we have a World Cup coming to the United States and potentially Kansas City, hopefully Kansas City. This next 5 years, to me, is going to be the buildup to something incredible that a lot of people in this country don't understand until it happens. I think those of us that have been a part of the wave, we feel it coming, right? I don't, and unless you guys feel differently than me, this thing is building up to be transcendent. And we get to be a part of it. And it's kind of fun being woke. I hate using that term right now because that's a charged term, but to being aware of what's coming.
Eyes wide open.
To enjoy that ride up. Because once we get there, I think everything's going to be different. Yeah. I do. I think things are going to – I mean, I'm not suggesting it's going to be more popular than football or anything like that, but I just think that everything has a chance to have changed after this. And we're all going to look back at, hey, remember before the World Cup, those of us that were big soccer fans in this country that saw this thing coming and got to enjoy watching it? And so I'm glad you brought that up, Connell, because I do. I think it all ties together. I really do.
And the timing, it's such a pivotal time that we're in right now as Kansas City is pushing for that 2026 World Cup bid, because the decision, the last we heard from Kathy Nelson, the sports commissioner here with KC Sports Commission, she had mentioned that, you know, the decision's coming within the next year or so. So this is a time to really, like, make that push.
Yeah, it'll fly in, like, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, to have someone like Mahomes involved. And again, not to say that that's going to make or break this.
No one thing is, you just keep stacking up.
But you stack, the higher you stack your chips, the better your odds are.
Right,
so
for sure.
And you just threw one of the most popular sports icons on the planet into the mix, mm-hmm. right? Like,
and that's not even hyperbole. Like, no. Even in Ireland, England, everywhere, everybody knows who Patrick Mahomes is.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
So
right.
The fact that he's now attached his name to Sporting, it doesn't hurt us, right?
No, it doesn't at all. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Sporting Kansas City, a couple of big games this past week. They settle for a 1-1 draw against San Jose. Controversy in that one with the penalty, no penalty, all of that. And then They go to Seattle, take on the first place team in the West. Both teams are severely limited in terms of what's available to their starting lineup. But Sporting KC smashed them 3-1. And I say smash because Brian Schmetzer's team had never suffered a home loss by more than one goal in the 6 years he's been the manager there, and Sporting delivered that to them. Allie, what did it mean? People are debating right now. What can you take away from this when neither team was at full strength? What do you say?
So I say that you can take a lot away from this. I was on MLS Spaces this morning on Twitter, and the correspondent for Seattle before I jumped in was just saying, you know, Sporting celebrating a little too hard for it being the middle of July. They still play each other two more times, blah, 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 blah. If that's the mentality that a team takes in, then I'm sorry, that's not a championship winning mindset, in my opinion. Because I look at Sporting Kansas City, who, like you mentioned, also without key players, also coming off an emotional midweek game against San Jose. I know that, you know, Sounders go down to Austin, they play five teenagers, they walk away with the result after an insane Ruy Diaz goal. Sporting Kansas City had to grind out a result against a San Jose team that, you know, a game that saw 22 second half fouls and their manager watching from home in a COVID-related situation. I can tell you the mindset of Sporting going into that game, just in talking with a lot of the different guys, they wanted to prove something in that game. And yes, it is just July. There is still a lot of soccer to be played as far as, you know, in the grand scheme of what this game means. Does it necessarily mean Sporting's going to finish on top of the Western Conference because they beat Seattle in July, missing, you know, key players? Who knows? But what it does say is that this Sporting Kansas City team is legit. And the depth that they have, that was my biggest takeaway, is the depth that team has. They went into the LA Galaxy game a couple of weeks ago missing 50% of their scoring up to that point in the season. Kyrie Shelton and Johnny Russell opened their scoring accounts. Then you go to this game. Johnny Russell scores his second goal of the season. Gadi Kinda, who had been missing for, you know, a couple of weeks with injury, sets up the assist on Daniel Shalloway's ninth goal of the season. He's just two away from matching, by the way, his golden boot finishing scoring number for the 2018 season. And I think it's safe to say he's going to surpass that 11 goals scored. And then Cameron Duke, who has just been so impressive in back-to-back games. We're seeing an impact from these young homegrown players at a rate and just in numbers that we hadn't seen before with this club. So I think for Sporting Kansas City, there's a lot to take away, and the number one thing being the depth, because last year in the playoffs, Alan Pulido's absence is what killed Sporting in that game. That, to me, was the difference between winning and advancing against Minnesota and not. And now you're seeing impact players who may not be starting every game but are coming in and getting results, a 3-1 result against a team like Seattle, who still had Ruy Diaz on the field. Kellen Rowe probably played his worst game of the season, was, you know, the one who turned the ball over setting up that second goal. Jimmy Madrona didn't look great either, but they still had some key players there on the field. So it's not to say that was a totally depleted Sounders team. I won't buy that.
I think it's massive psychologically, the 3 points that they just picked up there. And I know this, it sounded like the Sounders reporter kind of tried to play it down a little, just the result. But like, let's think of it. We lost that game. We're sitting here right now. Sporting are 8 points behind the Sounders, yeah, albeit with a game in hand at the top of the West. But going in there, Sporting done a job on them. And it's really, I hate the cliches, like, but it really is a next man up type mentality. EC Matt Marin comes in after missing, I mean, what we spoke about, doesn't miss a beat. Remy Walter comes in, doesn't miss a beat. I thought he was
fantastic.
I thought he was
team of the week performance.
Fantastic,
I mean,
yeah.
He had the best passing completion on Sporting in that game, over 90%, and was on the ball quite a bit.
First half, and the reason I say next man up is because it kind of reminded me of Elie. He was a bit more mobile, but just in terms of just keeping the ball moving, keeping it ticking over, especially when Sporting go up. And it looks like, you know, sometimes you can get a bit ahead of yourself. But he just kept moving, lending the ball, getting it back, passing it, making tackles. The amount of, in the midfield, that's where Sporting won that game at the weekend, in the midfield. The amount of times they were pressing at the right times, picking pockets, setting us up going forward. Kyrie was great. I think it was psychologically a massive 3 points. Because you're up there, you're on the road. And look, yeah, they may have had a bit of a depleted squad, but we've been there before. And we've suffered from it, so it's just a matter of people are now coming of age. It looks like players that are coming in can step up and take the reins, the likes of Cam Duke, the likes of Remy Walter, and AC Matt Marin as well. It's great stuff going forward.
For me, it's not a question of whether or not this was a statement victory. to me, the question is, what is the statement? There's no doubt in my mind that this was a statement victory. I mean, you could, if you want to really parse it, say that every game sends a statement of some sort. What's the statement? To me, the statement is not, hey, here you go, we're better than you. Kansas City, you know, the West goes through Kansas City. That would be overstating it. Mm. The statement to me is, and it kind of goes to what you were saying about the difference between winning and losing that game, where you are in the table. Mm. The statement is, we are a factor in the race for the West and for the supporter shield. Now, look, they're not even yet to the halfway point. We're getting close, though. We're getting very close to the hat. Two games away, I believe, from the halfway point of the season. It's the midsummer. And Peter Vermes even said after the game, look, this is everybody's grinding through this part of the season. Seattle's infamous for struggling massively up until this point of the season. Then they make a big summer acquisition, and they take off the rest of the way. So I can understand why their reporter would have the attitude that he has. Hey, look, if we're in first place now, look out, because we're gonna take it up a notch. So to me, the statement is, we're right there with you, Seattle, and you've got work on your hands to try to win this West. It's not going to be as easy as it looked through the first 13 games of the season when you're depleted and still nobody can beat you. I think that's a big statement. I think that is. That announced that those two games, when they play each other in September and October, are probably going to matter a whole hell of a lot. You know, to me, that's a big statement to send. That gets me excited as a fan for the rest of the year. And the other statement, in my opinion, is, and I'm glad you guys brought up Remy Walter, assuming all these reports about Busio are true, does Sporting Kansas City still stand as a trophy-caliber team? And I'm sure that every guy in that locker room would have told you yes before this game, but they, I think, affirmed to themselves and to everyone else that the answer unequivocally is yes, because Remy Walter did play fantastically. Roger Espinoza is still playing fantastically at his age. They bossed the midfield in Seattle on an unfamiliar surface that Seattle are used to. They dominated and dictated the play. All of the goals came because of the midfield winning the ball, especially the first two. I don't remember exactly how they won the ball on the third one, but on the first one, Roger Espinoza took the ball away, and that sent, you know, the play into motion that ended up in Johnny Russell getting fouled. Gadi Kinda takes the ball away from Kellen Rowe. That sets up the goal for Daniel Shallowy, and they did it all game. To me, that's a massive statement. The fact that Cam Duke has come on in the last two games and shown that not only can you get by, because there's, let's be honest, there's playing teenagers and homegrowns where you're like, let's just hope we can get by for 60 minutes until we can bring in our veteran or whatever. Let's hope we can just hold the fort down. And then there's the, let's bring in the kid, and Johnny Russell, our captain, says he's the best player on the field by a mile. And then in the next game, he backs it up by scoring a heck of a goal, right? And helping close out a victory, which was a difficult ask at that time when it was 2-1 and he came into the game. So for me, those are the two statements. Does it say Sporting's the best team in the West? No. That would be absurd to sit here and try to argue that. Those of us that have watched this league long enough know that there's a long way to go, and many things can and will happen between now and winter when the playoffs begin. But what Sporting did state, in my opinion, is, yeah, we're not just in second place, we're coming for first, and you're gonna have to really do some work to keep it away from us.
Well,
is that fair?
That is 100% fair, and the one thing I want to add to that too is just being down there right up close on the field, the intensity that Sporting was playing with in that game, and especially after they scored, because there was always that concern. You know, there was the storyline all season's been, you know, this team has 17 points more than any other team when coming from behind, and you're better off. Like, I saw people tweeting, like, hey, Seattle, you're probably better off that Sporting scored first, because it means that, you know, the result might actually go more your way than if they had conceded first. The way that Sporting responded after Seattle did pull one back, and even after they did score a goal, there was a different level of intensity that they were playing with. And I've only been down on the sideline for, you know, a number of games this season, but just it was a different type of intensity that I don't even know if I can properly describe. And Cameron Duke coming into that game, Nate, like you said, and not just in a different, you know, situation than having started in the game against San Jose, where he was able to feel out the game a bit more and then getting into his rhythm. About, I'd say it probably took him about 12, 15 minutes before he really started to, you know, kind of play the way that we saw him play throughout the rest of that game. But to come in and immediately make that impact after a tactical adjustment had been made, where he was playing as the lone attacking midfielder, as the 10 in front of two sixes, like, just his ability to adapt and immediately respond and put himself in dangerous positions. And then the way that he just finished that goal was, I mean, that was veteran level stuff, not skying that over the crossbar. And, you know, it just, that composure. And I think what Vermees said was perfect. I hope he starts playing with a little bit more arrogance now, because he deserves to.
Well, there you go. Arrogance here on the show today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Nicholas Isimat-Marin, Isi, the center back who also has come on the last two games and shown that he's going to be a big factor for Sporting KC the rest of the season as well. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show, presented by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we continue with the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video content. We appreciate you downloading and listening to the show or watching the show, and we are very excited now to be joined by one of the newest members of Sporting Kansas City, center back Nicholas Isimat-Marin. He goes by Isi. Hello, Isi. How are you?
Hello, everybody. I'm good, thank you.
Now, I want to double-check this at all times. Did I say your full name correctly? Nicholas Isimat-Marin. Is that close?
Yeah,
is that correct?
That's a good one, yes.
Okay, but you prefer to go by Isi.
Yeah, everybody can call me Easy, you know, even my family call me my mother, so I'm used to now.
Okay, your mom always called you that. Okay, now what about if you got in trouble with your mother? Because I know my mom always called me by my, I became Nathaniel when I was in trouble. Did your mom call you something different if you did something naughty?
Oh, yes, when I do, yeah, exactly this, come back with Nicolas, with the S in the back, you know, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, hey, we're excited to talk to you, and I think our fans have not gotten a chance to get to know you that well yet, because you got here, you had to sit out for a while, then you got on the field, you had the hamstring injury, so we didn't get to see you much for most of the season, but now you're back and you're playing, so let's do that a little bit today. Let's let the fans get to know you. First of all, what has this season been like for you, having to go through all of the things that I just mentioned to finally get yourself back out on the field?
For me, it's very, everything is new. It's new environment, a new league, new player, new staff, everything. But it looks like very similar to what I'm used to in Europe. I mean, about the mentality. Here, I was surprised about so many things, even about the fans, the stadium and everything. I was really big surprised about this. So football become bigger and bigger, and I was surprised about the intensity on the league. I mean, the people, all they run here, that's really crazy. And that was my little bit surprise in the beginning. And I get some injury, but I want to just big applause to the staff and to the people who help me every day with my character. I mean, for put me up on the field the more quick what they can. I mean, so yeah, I'm very happy with that. Now I try to work very often for help the team every weekend. So it's only 2 weeks now I'm back on the field, so I'm very happy.
Isi, you mentioned your experience playing in Europe, and I'm curious I know it hasn't been a lot of time here in MLS, but how does Major League Soccer compare to some of those top European clubs that you spent the majority of your career playing for?
No, it's more really, really interesting about the dynamic during the game. Every team is ready to run that crazy, honestly. box to box, and you just need to be sharp. We have the chance to have a quality coach, manager, and staff who can help us to prepare the game. And after all the teammates, everybody tried their best for get a good season, and I'm happy to be part of the team.
Hey, Isi, as has already been alluded to, you haven't really got the opportunity to play a lot of minutes here in MLS since you arrived, but is there anything that's kind of shocked you since you've got here? I mean, whether it be the travel or you're playing obviously a bunch of different altitudes or different climates or anything, is there anything that you weren't really expecting that you've noticed since you've got here?
Yes, the referee. I mean, it's a joke. Because, I mean, seriously, it's difficult to speak with them, you know. It's so special. But it's another subject, but more about, I have some expectation, and my expectation was quite good. You know, I was here for be back on shape the more quick what I can after my old club, I mean, in Turkey. I would like to just find a nice challenge with the objective to be feeling right on my body, I mean, and after to play for the first role on this league. About the concept, about the playoff and everything, is really exciting for me. It's a new challenge on this part, so it's a lot of positive sign.
Okay, we're visiting with Nicolas Isimat-Marin, Isi as he likes to go by, and I'm writing down a lot of the different words that he has used to describe the league so far. He's talked about the intensity, the mentality, the fact you've mentioned twice already, Isi, that they run everywhere in this league.
Yeah.
and then you said that the referee has been a surprise to you, in a good way or a bad way? What way?
Both way.
Okay.
Both way. The thing that I really like is my trainer fight every time with the referee. So I like the spirit, you know, everybody fight for himself. So that's a good thing.
Okay, so the referees stand up for themselves is what you're saying, and you like that about them here. Okay, good.
Yeah, good. It's good.
Okay, so you mentioned also that the atmosphere in the stadium has been a surprise to you, and those of us who live here in Kansas City, we love hearing that, of course. It makes us proud, but we're also we hear that a lot now. We hear that a lot from people that come from other countries that maybe did not expect to see a great stadium atmosphere in Kansas City if they had ever even heard of Kansas City before. So it's something that we're proud of, and it's something that we hear quite a bit. Do you have any special memories already or moments that stand out to you where you realized, I've come to a really good soccer community?
Yes, few moments, you know, especially when you get some injury and you're so exciting to be part of the team. You see, you have some goal, you have some atmosphere, some kind of even story. When you go, when we was losing or make drawing, and finally we win the game, and the atmosphere was just amazing. I like the atmosphere on the city. About the news about Patrick Mahomes joined the club, you know, I think everybody is concerned about this club, and this is the best feeling what I can have here.
So, Isi, are you a big football fan? American football, not, you know, the football that we all know here.
Yeah, I mean, I try to find my way here, you know, about new sports and everything. I play kickball, I have my kickball team here, you know, so I just want to, just discover so many things. And of course, I've become a fan of the Chiefs now, so.
Nice, that's what we like to hear. Is there anywhere in town that you've kind of got used to going, any different places for food or anything, Isi, that's different about being here in the Midwest that you wouldn't really get in Europe?
Yeah, just a big applause again for big cheers for the barbecue here, you know. So it's a pleasure to just share with the people, and especially they're very kind here. I'm surprised about this. I just go every day on the lift on the tower where I live here, and people just speak about everything. They say, I like your shoes. You know, they're always kind of nice, positive vibes here, and I'm enjoying this.
Oh, this is great. We're visiting with Isi, and he says everybody's concerned about the club. I like that. That's right. Everybody cares, and the fact that everybody's friendly, we call that Midwest nice here.
Yeah, okay.
Now you did tell me, I got a chance to spend a little bit of time with you, Isi, before the season, and one of the things you brought up to me is that you love the NBA. So I'm assuming you had fun watching the NBA playoffs, and your native of France just sent the United States basketball team to a loss the other day in the Olympics. Were you watching that game? What was your reaction?
First was about the college team, you know, during the time when I arrived, and this was very exciting. So it was new for me to know this kind of thing. And I know a lot of people in the country follow the college. After that, the NBA arrived, and in the facility, a lot of people bet about who's going to win, who's going to be further, who's going to be the MVP, everything. So, I learned a few new words here. I like the atmosphere, and I like everybody enjoy. About even the baseball, about so many sports, you know. So, it's a good city. I mean, it's very competitive city, and everybody want to be the best on their category. So let's try to follow the Royals and the Chiefs too, you know, to be the best on the country.
So, EC, something that Graham Zusi had told the media a few weeks ago was that you and fellow Frenchman Remy Walter were in for a rude awakening with the heat in the Midwest. So we're talking about atmosphere of the fans and the stadium. But how has the atmosphere and then just the climate been here and getting adjusted to just how hot? Did you believe them when they told you it was going to get as hot as it's been getting here in the Midwest?
No, because we speak with this with Remy. We come back with a big jacket in the beginning because it was mean. What was the... It was very cold even here. It was even frozen when we were there in the beginning. So, yeah. And after, when the heat arrived, they told me it's not even the maximum of the Fahrenheit. So I was like, okay, you know. And I just even start the warming up, and I'm very tired in the morning. So it's your body going to be used to, but it's nice to progress on this thing, to upgrade on this
Yeah, trust me, as someone else from Europe as well, you do not get used to it, but it just gets more and more bearable, but yeah, never very.
Here's the thing I'll say. As a person from Kansas City, I just want to say this. It only lasts a couple of months. You know, like you've got one more month to go, EC, and then when we get to the fall, the temperature is going to cool off. Go ahead, Connell.
EC, is there, just bringing it back to MLS, is there any... you were talking about the atmosphere inside the stadium there. Is there any stadiums that you've seen in MLS that you're looking forward to go to, or ones that you've already been to that surprised you, you liked more than you thought you would?
No, they told me. I have a conversation with Peter and Bren about this before to join this club. And finally, my expectation was well on this thing, on this side, and I'm still focused. Everybody can help us to achieve some objective for this season. So it would be interesting when everybody going to be fit, when the Gold Cup going to be done too, you know. So you have such an interesting to deal together during this season.
EC, let's talk about the team a little bit, because as you said, it's two games back for you. You guys got a big win in Seattle. That's a great place with the atmosphere to play in as well. How has it been for you? Do you feel like you fit right back in with your communication with Fonte and the rest of the back line? How have you felt that process has gone since you've come back from the injury?
Yeah, I think they mention every time the group, because the group is everything. I mean, everybody try to help each other in a nice way. I come back from a long injury, so they put me in the right position. The assistant trainer was even doing a good job for the two games, because Peter was not here. So, yeah, everybody was focused for get a result there. I saw the motivation and the determination on people was very high during this trip. So, yeah, it's a lot of confidence for the next game.
How was it getting to celebrate that win with the team? A big one. You know, I saw the photos posted from the locker room with the whole group and just nothing but smiles. Just how, I guess, motivating and how much confidence did the group get from that win in Seattle on Sunday night?
I mean, everybody was celebrating, but for myself, it was more, I put some ice on my knee, I put everything, I was really off, you know, I can't stand even, you know, so, but yeah, was interesting again to, and happy for the academy too. I mean, for the young players who play for the academy, they do a good job. So no, I really mean is you need to include everybody on the club. Everybody make a good job. Everybody try to be focused and to reach the whole goal, I mean.
You see, how was it this Sunday? I'm just curious. I mean, obviously, Kari Sevagnin has the respect of all the players, but with Peter not being there, with the head coach not being there, I mean, obviously, he's such a massive character. Was that something that did you kind of just try to act as if everything was normal, just try and carry on like it's another game, but missing his presence on the sideline, could you guys feel that on the pitch?
No, it's extra motivation, you know. We know we must do the job because he will watch the game for sure and you must be good, you know. So I won't say, it doesn't matter. Of course, it matters who take the team. We are very happy with Peter, he's the boss. But even Kerry make a good job, so big cheer for all of them. They shoot in the same way, and I like the connection what they have together. help very good the group during this season.
Have you found any French food in Kansas City that you like yet, EC?
I'm not checking for French food. No, it looks like catfish food for me. No, I'm not looking. Only the real American food.
Okay. You're not trying to. You would rather have your French food in France. You'd rather
exactly okay. this, you know. Yeah.
Okay, because I can give you a couple of recommendations if you need them. But it sounds like you're good with American cuisine right now.
And the barbecue, barbecue, like you mentioned. So we're glad that you've been able to do
that. We're gonna make some publicity for some barbecue place here. But trust me, it's very good.
Good. We love to hear that.
Yeah.
But Izzy, the other week, Tim Melia said that you play with a calmness that as a goalkeeper kind of scares him a little bit at times just because of how calm you are, even under pressure on the ball. How would you describe your style of play and the type of player that you strive to be on the pitch week in and week out?
No, it's something very in me. I mean, I really try to... Yeah, to just play my football, but it's more about the movement of my teammate and the confidence what I feel around me too. You know, it's more about the mentality. If you feel people, they are kind of give you the free feeling to do what you want on the way. They know how you play on the training, so it's not a surprise. I'm not gonna take 1,000 risks. It's just I'm here for first my job is to defend and to help the team. I can even upgrade on the aggressivity. I mean. Normally, I can be very hard even on the striker. I hope to be fit the more quick what I can. So after, I just want to be careful with the striker all the message for the striker on the league.
Well, Isi, we really appreciate the time, and we're glad that you're feeling healthy now. We're glad you're enjoying the barbecue and the atmosphere and the mentality of the city and all of that. We hope you continue to have a great time here, and thank you so much for the time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks,
okay,
Izzy.
That is Nicolas Isimat-Marin. If he's in trouble with his mom, Nicolas.
Nicolas.
Yes. Nicolas. But if it's with us, it's Isi. And he's not in trouble with us. We're happy to have him here as well. We'll take a break. We're going to look forward to what's coming up next for Sporting Kansas City and go over some news in the league as well. Right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we're back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Wherever you get your podcasts and wherever you stream your video content, we're presented by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And guys, now Sporting Kansas City have a rare week between games because they're going to be doing it again next week where they go Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, by the way. So that's going to be tough. So they get a full week to get ready for this game against FC Dallas. FC Dallas are struggling. They're in 10th place in the West, but they just got a 4-0 win against the LA Galaxy, who are one of the contenders so far in the West this year. Ricardo Pepi became the youngest player in MLS to have a hat trick as he notched 3 goals in that game. What do we make of this FC Dallas team that's coming to town on Saturday night at 7:30?
Can't rule them out. I mean, this is one of those games where it's got all the makings for a game that Sporting should win. It's at home. It's against a team that's struggled up to this point this season. But looking at the result that they got against LA Galaxy just, I think, says everything you need to know. It's that on any given, day in MLS, a team can come in and surprise you. And I think especially given, Sporting, like you mentioned, Connell, they're just 2 points now behind Seattle in the Western Conference standings. They've got a really tough week next week on the road, back-to-back, going to LAFC and then Colorado, a really difficult place to play with a lot of travel there. This is the time you got to capitalize and get 3 points. It's at home, but, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, Nate, their young star, Ricardo Pepi, is just – that's going to be a player to watch.
Yeah, he'll definitely be on the radar for sure of all the defenders and of the coaching staff, I'm sure. But look, one thing this team's been good at notoriously is winning their home games. I would fancy Sporting up against anybody coming into town, pretty much anybody in the league right now coming into town to play. They're firing on all cylinders. Like, it's hard to get into the team at the minute. FC Dallas they're okay. They've had a bad start to the season and whatever. We know what they're going to bring to town. Ricardo Pepi and stuff, like, you have to watch out for him, but I'm betting Sporting against anyone at the minute, especially coming here to KC.
So they this FC Dallas team historically have been able to come to Kansas City and cause fits.
Good job, yeah.
When they're good teams, bad teams, they're able to calm ugly things up. They if everybody got frustrated with all the antics in the San Jose game, just get ready, because it's going to be more of a street fight against FC Dallas, one would think. They know how to play the ball out of bounds and take forever to take their throw in, try to get under the skin of all the Sporting Kansas City players. You know, Peter calls it all the time, the inteligencia de la calle, the street smarts of these types of players. So I don't think you take anything for granted in this game. I understand what you're saying, Connell. Right now, when you look on form, you look on quality on the field and all that, you say, okay, this is 3 points in the bag for Sporting Kansas City. But one of the things that I liked the most out of all your post-game interviews that you did in Seattle, Ali, was when Johnny Russell said, this game doesn't mean anything if we don't follow it up on Saturday with another win. When you're trying to compete for the things that Sporting are, which is first place in the West, which is the Supporters' Shield, you don't have room for error. You have to grab 3 points in games like this. I get a sense there's a chip on the shoulder with it. I don't get a sense. It's obvious. I mean, to me, it's out there for the world to see. These guys have a chip on their shoulder, and they have something to prove. If they go into this game with that mentality, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that that's been – you know, one big difference with this team this year. Not that they haven't had that mentality in the past, but it's something that you're seeing throughout the team. I mean, Cameron Duke said several times after, as everyone's hyping him up with the goal, and I get he's a young kid and he doesn't want to say anything that's, you know, that, you know, rocks the boat or anything. But to his credit, he did keep saying, you know, this is great, but we're looking ahead to Dallas. You've got guys who don't just have a chip on their shoulder for what, you know, the team wants to prove, but individual players who have things to prove, and Cameron Duke being one of those players. And I forget when we were talking about it, or you know, if this was something that Peter had said, but either way, you know, you look at some of these young guys and the strides that they've made. Busio now about to, you know, at some point make a big move and just kind of show the next generation of guys coming up through the academy system and the pro player pathway, hey, this can be you. You can achieve these things too. And when you have players who are all in that environment together, it raises the level of competition for everyone. And so I think you're going to start to see that, you know, when Felipe Hernandez returns, Wilson Harris has started to get some more minutes too. And you're going to need good performances from all of those players as we get deeper into the second half of the season. It's hotter, congested schedule, all of those things. But I think that individual, you know, kind of, I got something to prove. And then that team mentality of having something to prove is going to do well for Sporting if they can use it to their advantage in these games.
I mean, the reason I probably do sound a bit arrogant there about with FC Dallas coming to town, I just think this year it's a different, I think Sporting are at a different level now than they have been, just in terms of character as well. I mean, look, at the weekend, Tim Melia, I was a bit harsh. I thought he could have done better for the goal, coming out for the goal. After that, brushed completely off, and then he's the best player on the pitch. That fingertip save onto the post, everything. He was just mentality monsters. Issimat Marin comes in, doesn't miss a beat. We were building packages on him for post-game because he was playing so well, but then other storylines happened. Remy Walter coming in, we're having Elie going to be coming back. Like, there's a different mentality. It seems like it's shifted to maybe it's the chip on the shoulder. We have something to prove to everyone here. Or maybe it's just we're realizing how good we actually are and getting these players fit and playing. I think they'll welcome anyone to sport.
Or Vermees is watching the broadcast, and we better not. Right.
As EC said, that's a lot of pressure. You know, when we all know that as a broadcast. Let's be on point. Peter Vermees is sitting at home watching this thing. He's going to be back on the sideline on Saturday. And there's pressure now, too, because Patrick Mahomes is like that. He's one of the bosses. Like, you don't want to let that guy down. I mean, nobody in town wants to let down Patrick Mahomes.
Hey,
so
can Peter Vermees put up a Coach of the Week performance as Kerry Zavagnin did?
Yeah, congratulations.
That was awesome.
We need to say that. Congratulations, Kerry. That was awesome stuff. That's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap things up now. Again, you can check out the game on Saturday night at 7:30 on Bally Sports Kansas City, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well, with the pregame at 7 o'clock. Sporting KC, 2 points off the pace in the Western Conference with a game in hand on Seattle, taking on FC Dallas Saturday night. For Connell McCourt, for Ali Trost, and for EC, this is Nate Buchady saying thanks for listening and watching to the Sporting Kansas City Show, and we'll see you next week.